This week on Hello Ross, television legend Sally Jesse Raphael stops by to say,
a man called me, he's a farmer, and he asked me how to kiss a girl. It's one thing to teach someone how to kiss, but on radio, it ain't easy.
Yep, Sally Jesse's here on a brand new episode of Hello Ross.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
And welcome to the program. Big, big day around here. For starters, super thankful for you for listening. So thank you. I don't know if you heard my interview with Ricky Lake right here on Hello Ross just a few weeks ago. If you haven't yet, go listen to it. It's really, really good. I love talking to her. And I totally dorked out because I, as a, like a teenager, I would watch her every day and think she was so good and that we would totally be friends. And I remember just being like, that's the job I want. I want to be a talk show host. That's been my North Star forever. And so I just talked to her about how it happened. And I felt like I got so much insight into like what it was like for her, you know, because I was sitting out there watching what it's like for her. And also, I mean, selfishly, I'm thinking like, as I'm talking to her, like, how can I apply this to me? Because I'm still chasing that North Star, you know? I get to work in daytime TV now and it's the best. The best. I love sitting next to Drew Barrymore every day and talking, but I still, you know, one day when I want to have my name somewhere on a show and I want to do it and I want to do the gig. Blows me away that I get to do what I do and that people believe in me for the next step. And especially when people who have done it believe in me. Let me tell you a story. So on RuPaul's Drag Race, we do this segment called Bossy Rossi. And they ask where I play like a fictional talk show host kind of thing. And when they asked me to do it, I was like, yes, but I want to wear red glasses. Why did I say red glasses? Because growing up, I watched all the talk shows, not just Ricky Lake. I watched Oprah. I watched Donahue was a little too early for me, but I watched Jenny Jones and Regis and Kathy Lee, Rosie O'Donnell, of course. And I watched Sally Jesse Raphael. Now, Sally always wore her signature red glasses, so it was sort of a nod to her. So I do Bossy Rossi the first time on RuPaul's Drag Race. When it airs, Sally Jesse Raphael tweets me, love the glasses, Ross. What? What? Sally Jesse Raphael, she knows who I am. You guys, she's like the big, she's big. She's iconic. You know, in the 80s and 90s, she's like, you know, like she's up there. She's with Oprah. You got it? She knows who I am. And then we did Bossy Rossi again, and Sally Jesse Raphael tweets, I think at Hello Ross should have his own talk show. Me? What? Sally Jesse say what? I'm telling you, I needed a, how do they say, diaper? So I, of course, DM'd Sally Jesse Raphael back. Thank you so much, blah, blah, blah. We talk a little bit, and she's so nice. So then when I'm doing this show, you know, I reach out, would you ever do the podcast? And she says yes. Man, I'm nervous, but I'm thinking I just talked to Ricky Lake. I can do this. And I go into this interview with Sally Jesse Raphael. I can't just say Sally. I go into this interview and I really want to kind of like get advice on how I get to where she got. But where the interview goes is so different. I can't wait for you to hear me talking to the television legend, Sally Jesse Raphael. And when we come back, she's here. She's here to say hello, Ross.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen. Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Hello, Ross. How you doing?
Okay, let me tell you something. This is a moment that I've waited for like my entire life. Do you know how much I love you, Sally, Jesse, Raphael? What do I call you? Do I call you Ms. Raphael? What do I call you?
Sally.
Please, can I call you Sally?
Yeah, please call me Sally.
Thank you. When you have three names, you know, I don't know which one to say. So I'm going to call you Sally. Please call me Ross or whatever you want to call me, Sally. You call me anything.
You've got it.
I have been, you know, I would watch you in my little town, Malvern, Washington. And when you would toss to commercial break, I wanted your job so bad, I would turn down the volume and I would toss to break for you. I would say, we'll be right back with more Sally. Because I just remember thinking, whatever shit she's doing, that's what I want to do. And so the fact that you even know my name now is mind blowing to me, Sally.
Well, you know, I wish you had a better person to emulate. I really do.
Now stop right now. You don't mean that. You must know what an icon you are. You know, all those years on television, over 10,000 guests you interviewed. Does it sink in to know all the people whose living rooms you were in, like, feel like were your friend?
My girlfriend added them up, and it was 143,320 people I talked to, but that included the radio.
And how long were you on the radio before the TV show?
No, the radio I was on the television and the radio at the same time for about a year or two, but I was on radio 30 years.
Jeez, wow. Wow, and is that sort of how it happened for you? Because, you know, there's no normal path to becoming a talk show host, you know, right? It's like everyone who gets that gig gets it a different way. Some are comics, some are actors and singers, whatever. You were a host. You were an interviewer, right?
Yes. I was a foreign correspondent. Then I came to New York for a while. I was the anchor woman on PIX. WPIX.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then I went to be I did street reporting. And then I did radio for 30 years, mostly all night radio, which
like
is
late at night.
Oh, it's fabulous.
Why? Because the weirdos call? Please tell me it's because the weirdos call.
Well, I don't think of them as weirdos. I think of them as people who wanted to talk, to chat, or discuss things.
You know,
night is great.
I use weirdos as a term of endearment because I consider myself one of them. I love fascinating people, interesting people who beat to their own drum. You know, I listen to this radio show called Coast to Coast. I don't know if you know Coast to Coast with George Noory. And a lot of people call in with fascinating stories about seeing UFOs or having experiences that, you know, you don't hear people talk about all the time. So when I use weirdo, please know it's a term of endearment.
No, I know it is. I understood what you were saying.
Okay, good.
But I did this out. I started the all night show in Miami and then went on to do it in all over the country and in New York. But I got Tennessee Williams lives in St. Croix, in the Keys. And Jackie Gleason lived in Miami, and Minnesota Fats lived in Miami. And Marvin the Torch lived in Miami. And so they were in the weirdo categories that would call in. on a regular basis. In fact, both Jackie and Tennessee came to sit with me in the studio and watch while I did the show.
And what would you talk about on your show late at night? What would you talk about?
Whatever anybody really wanted to talk about, I would have a man called me. He's a farmer, and he lived way out in the country. And he asked me how to kiss a girl. Now,
could you let me know too, Sally? Because I'm not so good at it.
Well, this is radio.
Yeah. Okay. What'd you do?
Now, it's one thing to teach someone how to kiss, but on radio, it ain't easy.
So what'd
then,
you do?
Then one time, we had a couple that had two children, very young couple, and they were in the Grand Canyon. No money, no food. They had given their last bit of money for food for the two kids, and they were in the Grand Canyon. And they called and said, what'll I do? And it made for fascinating radio. Don't you know that several human beings went out in their pajamas, got into cars, and found these people in the Grand Canyon and gave them enough money for food to get all the way to the East Coast? And don't you know that the couple paid back every penny?
Wow. Wow. Do you think that exists still? Do you think, like, in humanity?
Oh, absolutely.
It does. The good thing, good people like that. We can still use media to connect like that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think your show did that because, Sally, you had people on who, you know, from the beginning of time, there have been gay people, there have been extramarital affairs, there have been people have been doing stuff since the beginning of time. They just were never talking about it, you know? And then your show was very brave in that way. I mean, did it start on the radio? Did it start back then? You thought, oh, there are interesting people out there, the quote, the weirdos, the people that we like, the people who beat to their own drum.
I think Phil Donahue started that.
Yeah. And did watching Phil make you think, oh, I could do that too? I could bring this to television?
No. First of all, I never watched television. And second of all, I probably didn't know who Phil Donahue was. They called me. Phil worked for a company, multimedia, with a man named Bert Dubrow. And Bert called me and said, we'd like you to replace, be very careful who replaces you. We'd like this woman to replace you on your vacation. Well, the guy is gone and I had his show. So,
I think about that all the time. I never miss a day at work because I'm like, who's going to get in that seat? I don't like taking that risk.
That's exactly right. Be careful who replaces you, darling.
So you get a shot, which is like, it's amazing that it wasn't even your dream to be on television. You get the call, you know, come do it. And it takes off. I mean, how do you even put a leash on that when it's like, it wasn't even your dream, but then it just takes off at this level? I mean, I just want to just give the audience, if they don't know, I was doing a lot of research before talking to you. And there's one interview you did with Matt Lauer, sort of reflecting back on your time. And you said, you know, when your show ended, you were getting a 4.8 rating. And what that means now, just, I want the audience to understand, the biggest daytime show on TV right now gets like a 1.4. Okay, so you were getting a 4.8. Your show was monumental, the amount of people watching you. So
yeah,
how did you get there from being on the radio and someone calling you and then you're there? I mean, what did it feel like?
It goes slowly. It doesn't go that fast.
Really?
It really started, they wanted to try it out. The company, Phil Donahue and Bert Dubrow called the boss. the boss of multimedia. Bert calls me. Would you like to try to do a television show? Sure. He comes to my apartment. He said, we're going to all move to St. Louis, Missouri. Okay. So we go to St. Louis, Missouri, because the company owns 15 stations. So they put it on.
Okay.
The boss of the major station that I'm on, Bill Brain, Work.
You remember all these names. I don't remember anything. The fact that you remember.
He hates me. I am not his employee, and he hates me.
I did not see that coming, Sally. That's funny. Okay.
So he says, let's go and have a drink somewhere. He's thinking of how can he get rid of me. He's the manager of the local station.
Okay.
Okay. So he takes me to the Busch Stadium, right?
Cardinals. The Busch Stadium. Big baseball stadium, right?
Right, but it has fancy restaurants.
Okay.
And he orders a double martini.
Okay. All right, let's party.
I have to tell you, I don't drink, okay?
Understood. Uh-huh.
So I order a double martini. There is no way this is going to happen.
Yeah.
So he orders another double martini. So I order another double martini.
And are you actually consuming them?
Oh, no, I'm drinking them.
Okay.
Bill Bolster, that's his name. It came to me. Anyhow, Bill's head is on the table, and I'm able to get up and get to the elevator. God knows how. The next morning, this man who hated me said, I think you're the most wonderful woman I've ever met.
Wow. So where's the lesson there? What is the lesson for people who out here who are...
Women are smarter than men.
Understood. Yeah. Well said.
No, I just thought, no. The lesson is, if you've got it in your mind that that guy is not going to let you see one moment of weakness in business or in anything else, and he's not going to do something to you that's going to harm you because he can't. That's the lesson.
That's so powerful. I have to ask you, you know, this is a tough business. And I think about when you were in there and there were people like Donahue, then Oprah comes along. I mean, do you have to be ruthless in this business? Do you have to be, or can you still be, what's the opposite of ruthless? I don't know if it's kindness, but do you have to be ruthless?
I think you have to be decent and nice and moral and kind. Now, can somebody behind the scenes be ruthless for you? Sure.
Did you have someone like that?
No, but Oprah did, and other people did.
Yeah, but you got to the top. You know, you still got to the top without being
ruthless. No, I did say we had mostly gay and female employees. We had 250 employees to do a morning television show. Yeah. 250 people. I said, if any of you cry or use your own personal emotions, then you're fired. And if you think you're going to have a life, you're not. You're going to find out what it's like at 4 a.m. in a hotel room with somebody and 4 p.m. And that's what your life is going to be. And they loved me. I didn't have anyone quit either.
That says something, I have to tell you. That right there. That's...
And do you know we're the only show where they have a reunion every year?
Your staff?
Yep, all these years.
Do you miss it? The grind? I mean, it sounds like a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
No, I don't miss it at all. I hated it at the end. When the company, NBC Universal, wanted to make it like Jerry and Maury, I was so unhappy. I hated doing it.
You didn't want to do Maury Povich and Jerry Springer?
I don't want to be Sally Jesse Raphael. I just don't want to be.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't. the her on television is not the me.
Isn't that interesting? So who are you?
I paint, I fly fish, I do model railroading. I'm a mother. I am a grandmother. I am a traveler. I read a great deal. I'm not her. I don't know that I have ever watched her show. I don't think so.
Do you, I mean, you listen to the words you're saying. That's so beyond fascinating that the, you know, how you are able to distinguish between the two. But I get what you're saying. You know, it's like you are at work, right?
It's worse than that, dear. When you go to a party, did they ask you because you're Sally Jesse Raphael, or did they ask you to the party?
I get what you're saying, though, because maybe because I've been on TV 21 years. You know, I'm not you. I'm not her, right. But I get it. I get the difference. I get how there can be a separation and there can be, do you have the people in your life though, that are there for you? You do.
Oh, absolutely. I'm
good.
Very lucky. I have three living relatives now, blood relatives. And I have some good friends.
Good. It's the best, isn't it? The best when you have good people around you.
You know, the funny thing, you'll appreciate this. If I go to the supermarket and I'm pushing the cart and I'm putting in food, sometimes somebody comes up and goes, "What are you doing here?" And I go, "I'm getting food for dinner." And they go, "Isn't that funny?"
Yeah. They're just like, they're shocked when you exist. Right?
What, that I exist. And then they say, "Are you short?" So we don't use the S word in our house.
I don't know how tall you are. How tall are you?
I'm tall enough.
Understood. See, I love that you give me exactly what I need. I'm tall enough. It's the best answer. The best answer. Let me ask you, just I know you are, you have a house full of people and you're cooking dinner tonight. I love that.
No, we're bringing in dinner, but we're doing a study of the sky, of the cosmos.
Explain that, please.
Gary Swungen, who is a astronomer, is visiting me, and he is going to talk to us. We're going to see Saturn. What are we going to see?
Jupiter
and Saturn.
How are you going to see this?
Set up.
A telescope. Oh, wow.
What else are we going to do?
Look at a galaxy, a couple of galaxies.
We're going to do the galaxy. We're going to do the galaxy tonight.
So wait, have you always been just this curious about everything? I mean, this is the through line as I'm talking to you. You're just curious.
I am.
Oh, what does that do for you? What is it? Is that what drives you? Just like finding something out?
I think you're born asking why.
Does that make a good talk show host, you think? Is that the clue, the key?
You know, I'm not sure. It's a very, what you're asking is a very difficult thing. It has to do with preparation and education. Look, I was on radio with the Quiz Kids when I was 6 years old. Then my parents said, you have to live a real life. So, but every day after school, when the other kids went out to play baseball or football, I went on a train to New York. I learned to fence, epee, sword, foil. I learned to tap dance. I learned ballet. I learned to sing. I can't sing a note. I am tone deaf as hell. I learned to play the violin. I went to the Neighborhood Playhouse in New York. I learned all these things. My mother wanted it set up so that I would be completely and utterly educated and be ready. I learned from Edith Skinner, the greatest speech teacher in the world, how to speak gas. Gas is good American speech. It's no regional accent. And that was drilled into me. So today I'm seeing people who might have been a baseball player being a you know, doing the job that I was trained to do. I don't know that there's training these people have gone through. If you, maybe if you and I commit a murder, we can be the host of the Today Show.
I see what you're saying. Like, if you have notoriety, then you get a platform, then you get, but in terms of what you would recommend for a good host, do you?
I recommend an education. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Somewhere along the line, I tap danced with Robinson. Somewhere along the line, I sat on a piano with a feather boa and sang off key.
Yeah.
A wild song from Lost in the Stars. Somewhere along the line, the education paid off.
Yeah, you brought everything that you learned. You brought that to the show.
That's what's missing. And we don't care about it. The young kids, they don't care. They don't particularly seem to care if they need an education to do anything, because it's all there. It's going to be on the computer. You certainly don't need math anymore, not as long as you've got the computer.
Well, no, that's true, but I never liked math, Sally, so I'm fine with that part of it. I'll just tell you that.
Okay, but what about counting on your fingers, dear, when they ask you something?
I'm actually pretty good at math. You know, I ask you this sort of all with an agenda, you know, as somebody who, now I feel like I know you a little bit more, but I do have to say, I loved Sally Jesse Raphael as a kid. I watched and I emulated, and I always dreamed about one day getting there. And so that's my agenda as I'm edging my way closer to what you did and trying to be my version of what you did. What I thought I was coming into this conversation with was the goal of sort of trying to get some takeaways for myself in terms of achieving that dream. But you know what I got instead, Sally? I got a different education in terms of like being this Ross, you know what I mean? And so thank you for giving me what I didn't know I was going to get today.
I think that is so sweet, Mr. Ross. I appreciate your saying it, and thank you.
Thank you. This has been a dream come true. I want you to go have fun looking at the sky. You know, and I picture you as a little kid doing the same thing, and here you are after, you know, climbing the mountaintop, doing the dream, doing the thing. You're staying true to yourself, and you're still looking up at the sky and asking why. Thank you, Sally.
You're welcome, darling.
And welcome back, and huge thank you to Sally Jesse Raphael. Wow, wow, wow. Wow, I hope you got some takeaway from that combo. I certainly did. I'll never forget the fact that I got to talk to her, that she even knows who I am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's time for my happy ending. It's the best thing I've seen all week. And I'll tell you, just on Saturday, I got to go up to my home state, Washington State, and I did a performance at Clearwater Casino up there. And there were 800 people in the audience. It's totally sold out. And I hadn't been since pre-pandemic in a venue with like people like that. So it's been, what, 3 years since I've performed for a huge crowd like that. And the best thing that I've seen all week were people. That was it, just being back in that space. I missed it so much. You know, when you do what I do, it's about communicating and connecting. That's what I do. Communicate, connect. And when you take that away from someone like me and all my performer friends, it's like, you know, it's almost like there's a lack of oxygen for us. It means so much to me to be able to like take my energy, put it out into the world and shift the feeling, you know? And I say at my shows, I want to shut the door to the outside world and just have fun for a couple hours, you know? And then when at the end of the show, I say, remember how we shut the doors? Well, we're going to open them up now. And I want you to take this feeling we've created out into the world. And the feeling that we create in that room when I get to be there with you is all about love and fun and kindness and goodness. That's what we create. And creating that with 800 people in Washington at Clearwater Casino this past weekend is the best thing I've seen or felt or experienced in a long time. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you to all of you who came out. And I'm putting together a brand new show. So I'm going to be coming to a city near you soon. And maybe we can all feel that together. Thanks so much for listening. And until next week, bye-bye. Hey, it's me, Ross Matthews. Thanks so much for listening. It means a ton. Make sure you like us, give us a good review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can find us on video at Cumulus Podcast Network on YouTube.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.